You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Archie MacDonald joins us, as he does each Friday. Today, he recounts all the bosses he's had in the sundry professions he's worked in. He gives them a hearty thank you in salute of the upcoming Bosses Day holiday.
These Friday morning visits usually stick to the basics, such as memories of old cars and the activities of a peripatetic professor. The 4th of July, or December 7, the day that lives in infamy since 1941. To demonstrate flexibility and a spirit of adventure, how about National Bosses Day, which is October 16th? Since Bosses Day appears on my calendar with the same lettering as Labor Day and Flag Day, I needed to learn its origin. There's not much to learn, but the point it seeks to make is significant. The observance of Bosses Day began in 1958 when Patricia Bays Hirosky registered October 16th, her boss's birthday, with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for such a purpose. Ms. Hirosky worked for the State Farm Insurance Company in Deerfield, Illinois, and some believe that her father was the boss she wanted to honor. 4 years later, Illinois Governor Otto Kerner proclaimed Bosses Day an official state holiday, and since then it has been gaining traction, if not legal standing, at the national level. Some, possibly workers who don't much care for their supervision, dismiss Bosses Day as just a Hallmark production. Hallmark did not produce its first Bosses Day card until 1979, though by now the company has numerous cards for the occasion, including some with sound, on the market. None of this negates Ms. Hirosky's intent to honor bosses who deal fairly with employees and to remind workers that it is difficult to operate a business successfully. And the observance does make me remember some of my bosses, at least since I joined the workforce. I have worked at several jobs, including selling watermelons and ice from a real ice house, chicken catcher, hop boy on milk and linen trucks, oil field roustabout, ice cream plant flunky, service station attendant, land clearer and sewer line layer, house painter, historical association director, and for quite a while now, a teacher, writer, and lecturer. I must have worked for at least 100 bosses, including every president of SFA except the first two, every academic vice president, dean of whatever they called liberal arts at the time, and history department chairman and women, 37 sets of East Texas Historical Association officers, and now even Kermit Poling, manager of these radio stations that compose the Red River Radio Network. Nearly all were, and are, wonderful ladies and gentlemen who put up with a lot from me. So if I never said it before, boss, thanks for the work, and especially for letting me keep on doing it. Because, as always, baby still needs a new pair of shoes.
Programming on Red River Radio is supported in part by Nacogdoches Medical Center, celebrating 35 years of medicine in East Texas by offering a comprehensive range of inpatient and outpatient medical services. Further information is available at 866-898-8446 or nacmedicalcenter.com. It's coming up on 20 minutes before 8 o'clock. Morning Edition continues in a moment.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.